Greetings of Imani, which means faith in Swahili. And creative life force for this glorious and beautiful rainy day here in these sacred lands of the indigenous Ohlone people. I do bring you warm greetings on behalf of our National Coalition of Blacks for Reparations in America, in COBRA, and our national co-chairs, Queen Mother Mashariki Jawanza of Indianapolis, and Baba Cam Howard of my former hometown of Chicago. Our board of directors and members across the United States and our African diaspora, including some Unitarian Universalists who were members in New Hampshire and other states as well. I'm so grateful to you all for inviting us here and letting me share on this, basically this International Human Rights Day. We're celebrate the 78th year commemoration on December 10th. And in particular, again, I want to just thank our dear Queen Mother, Virginia Hollins Davidson, for extending this invitation. I must say this, if I may, because I've been kind of faking this morning. My heart is very heavy. This week, and it seems like seems like every week for the past 6 months, even more, we've been losing people. And I know you've been going through it just as I have, and it happened this morning again. I'm almost sometimes afraid to answer the phone. And so I'm wondering if we can take a few moments. I'm going to just go off, because this is part of our reparations, our repair as well. We could just take a few moments to maybe close our eyes. Take in a precious breath, a deep breath, and then let it go. Take in another, and then let it go. Eyes still closed. If you can recall or remember someone near and dear to you, who is no longer here in this life, in the physical, someone who inspired you, who taught you, maybe your parents, maybe a grandparent, maybe a freedom fighter, maybe a child, maybe an author or a musician. Take a few moments, and if you don't mind, just call out their names. Call out their names and ask them to come be with us. They are not dead. They are spirits. And they continue to guide us. So please call out their names. Let them know that we affirm their living. We affirm their contributions. We affirm their very spirits that live on. Today, I just want to share with you a bit. Thank you for that. I just want to share with you a bit that 6 months ago or so, we had the murder of George Floyd by Minneapolis police officers. And to many of our surprise, not only were African people appalled, but many others stepped forward, and it actually warmed our hearts to see that happening. Everywhere I go, I'm seeing signs now, Black Lives Matter. They're on buildings all around Oakland and many other cities. And so that is a great thing. But as I read from the movement, our movement for Black Lives earlier, and also from COBRA and many of our other organizations, that is a big step to say that Black Lives Matter for a lot of people. Some people still can't say it. But I want to take you a little further, and I see that you all are on the path, and I'm so thrilled by that, that you already recognize, many of you, that Africans, our lives don't just matter, but we indeed deserve reparations. And if I will, what I want to spend this time doing is just talk a little bit about what reparations means to me and many, though not all, in our movement. Please understand that reparations are indeed an internationally accepted remedy that begins to address crimes against humanity perpetrated against a nation or a group of people by other nations, states, groups, corporations, militaries. If we look back through our story of humanity, we will see that reparations have been advocated for, demanded, and sometimes achieved by a number of abused and injured parties. These include several indigenous nations here in the USA and Canada, South America, our Japanese American communities that were unjustly racially profiled and interned in the 1940s, and those who suffered and died in the fascist Holocaust of our Jewish communities in Europe. Now, regarding African people, because our story is a bit more complex and than any others. And let me begin by just talking about what reparations means for me, what it looks like. Because it's much more. It is about wealth and getting that wealth redistributed, but it's about much more than that. To begin, and I'm going to go to my book, Africans Deserve Reparations, with many paths to Kujichagulia. Kujichagulia is a Swahili word that means self-determination. The reparations for African people is focused primarily on our spiritual recovery. Now, I'm saying that because we were basically robbed of everything. Everything. Our names, our family connections, our land, our educational resources, not just here in the United States, but throughout many parts of the world. In fact, the first enslaved Africans were taken to Europe and enslaved there. And so Africans are about spiritual recovery, finding out who we are, finding out, regaining our confidence in that we were some of the first builders in this world. In fact, that's part of the reason why we were enslaved. And so reparations is about spiritual recovery for African people. As I mentioned earlier, reparations is also about self-determination. That means that with respect to all, it is African people ourselves who must figure out what our reparations look like. And we're doing that through coalitions and alliances like ANCOBRA, where we bring together everybody from the Republic of New Africa to the NAACP, from the Nation of Islam to the Church of God in Christ. Yes, we have some Kojic members in our membership as well. And so it's about us as African people working together, discussing, debating, and figuring out what those reparations should look like, and also who we deem as our leadership that can only come from us. Because for so many years, 500 years, someone else has been making decisions for us. And so our movement is also about part of that self-determination is how we claim our victories, how we defend our leaders. And I go to the Malcolm X doctrine, is we're using every means necessary to win our reparations. And so that everything is up for debate. Thirdly, when I speak of reparations, please know we're not just talking about the enslavement period, where millions and millions of African people were enslaved, and that officially, and let me make this clear, officially ended in the United States in 1865, or in Haiti through a mass revolution in 1804, or in Jamaica in the 1830s, or in Brazil and Cuba in the 1880s. We're also talking about reparations for the crimes against our humanity up to this very moment. And believe me, brothers and sisters, the crimes continue, whether it's mass incarceration, whether it's lack of health care, it's the worst in housing. Those are crimes against humanity documented by institutions like the United Nations. Fourthly, when I speak of reparations, and I've always tried to be a good family member, I come from good parents, Deacon Cleveland Lee Armstrong and godmother Elizabeth Eliza Ann Armstrong, both ancestors now, but both who walk with me all the time. Our reparation demands are not just for we here stationed in the United States currently, but an interconnection and support for African people all around the world who are standing up and fighting for self-determination, independence, and reparations on the African continent as well as around our diaspora. Fifth, we Africans see, and as I articulate, that we owe reparations to ourselves. Because again, we've been taught to hate ourselves, to hate our skin color, to hate the texture of our hair. We are learning to love ourselves again. It is part of the reason why we see, along with the desperation, so many homicides, so many people not taking the best care of themselves. Sixth, hear me out here. Our reparations movements didn't just start within COBRA. I read some passages earlier from Harriet Tubman. I could go to Frederick Douglass, and I could go to some unknown ancestors who spoke of needing land and needing cash. Or if any of you have seen the movie Amistad, what was the reparations that Singbi, who went to court with John Adams, what was he demanding and the others? To go home, La Guinée, Africa. They wanted to go home. And so our movement didn't just start with ourselves. It has a long history. And we are just the current generation that are raising this demand. And each generation has taken it further and further. And so I come to my seventh point. And some of my people get mad at me for saying this, but it's so true that us fighting for, African people fighting for and achieving reparations would not only help heal us, help recover us, it will help heal everybody, including Europeans and Americans. Many who think that their privilege came down from heaven. And so we are having these discussions, and I applaud you for inviting us here and for being on the front lines for many movements for justice, that we are healing you as well. Because the more you get the truth, the more it will help us all. The more you know where the privilege came from, the more you can fight against it. The more you can understand that those people over there aren't just uneducated or heathens. There's a whole system behind that. And furthermore, it's to keep us divided as well. And so our fighting for justice, for reparations, will help heal you as well. And so finally, because all this been a lot of negativity, but let me say finally, The good news is that we are winning reparations. We just had a major victory here in the state of California. We got the Assembly and the Senate and Governor Newsom to sign AB 3121 to set up and fund a task force to study and develop reparations proposals for African Americans Act based on the crimes against African people in this quote unquote liberal state. And so that is a major victory. We just, and this is so true to my heart here. One of my elders, who was actually born here in Oakland, California, Jaleel Motakin, former member of the Black Panther Party for Self-Defense. Jaleel has finally, after our advocacy for decades, after nearly 50 years, been released from prison. And that is through the help of many of you and many organizations and movements to win that freedom. And I won't go into what happened right after that. That's another story. But we got him released. And we're still fighting for others who were framed up. The government admits it through its COINTELPRO, counterintelligence programs to destroy, divide, dismantle Black leadership and Black organizations, from Dr. King and the SCLC to the Black Panther Party for Self-Defense to many, many others, the Communist Party USA and many others. And so that is my simple take on what reparations means to me. Again, come any form that African people decide that we deserve and that we're willing to fight for and win. Now, I'm going to just switch gears because it's one thing to say this is what you're for, but how can other people assist you? Well, first, I'm going to, again, give my praises to you because what you're doing right now, inviting a brother who's not a speaker. In fact, I have a major speech impediment. That's why I sing. But having us come and speak to you about not just our pain, but what we're doing to try to deal with some of this pain, right? We're fighting these immediate battles to get more food in people's mouths and get shelter for folks. But we've got this bigger picture, right? That we need reparations that have been put on the sideline. I also think what you're doing is that you've been studying and discussing, you've endorsed our movement for Black Lives. Thank you for that. You can continue to stand up and organize actions to counter racist, terrorism, oppression, and exploitation by many of these ignorant forces in our communities. You can do what I just raised, support our imprisoned and exiled political leaders. One of my mentors, I was still in high school when he was exiled to Africa. He was a member of the Black Panther Party. And some of you may have seen a movie about him on PBS called A Panther in Africa. Pete O'Neill. And Pete can't come back because they have trumped up charges. So he's been there since 1971, the year that this old man graduated from high school. We also have many others who are unjustly incarcerated as well, and we've been fighting to get them out because we know that imprisonment and mass incarceration, we came here as prisoners, and that is a major motive for profit for these corporations and this government. Next, you can help us build support for progressive legislation. I mentioned AB 3121. Thank you all for your support to help us get that passed. Even during the pandemic when we couldn't take a lot of action, this phone and these conference calls and the Zoom, this is all new to me, but we are certainly grateful for your support. We also have HR 40, which we help inspire one of my beloved people, Congressman John Conyers, a new ancestor, to write and introduce in 1989. And we've been fighting and building on that since. And I am happy to say, thanks again to many of you, that we are up for the first time to 174 endorsers in the U.S. House of Representatives and 20 senators. We couldn't even get a bill in the U.S. Senate, even when my former senator in Chicago, my dear sister Carol Mosley Braun, represented us. But we have several others now who have moved that forward. Of course, and we all know the reality of this is that we need funds. We're all volunteer, Iron Cobra. We receive no grants. We get out there and work, and it might be, let's keep this between you and I, is probably one of the reasons I'm divorced now, because I was spending more money on the movement than I was taking care of what I need to take care of. And so we need funds and fundraisers to keep this independent righteous movement moving. And so finally, we're creative, but we also take advice and wise instructions from many others. So we are open to discussing ways that others want to help. One of the things that I ask people to do is simply, if you will, consider changing some of the language. Not big stuff, just some stuff. Don't use the word slaves or slave owners or slave masters. That messes up the power there and the responsibility there. Instead, consider using terms like enslaved Africans and enslavers, or better yet, criminal enslavers. That said, we welcome the support of allies and justice-loving people from everywhere for our movements. And we also do our part to express our solidarity with other nations and groups who are fighting for a just way. I thank you so much for this opportunity. Now, if I may, I want to close out with a link, what we call Iron Cobra link. And if you don't mind, can you make a T, like stretch your arm straight out, like you're touching someone else? And just repeat after me in your own space. We are a link in this magnificent light, love, liberation, and legacy. Sisters and brothers, this sacred link connects us with generations past and with the generations that are on the way. Let me tell you, they are on the way. It connects us with those across the seas and also the many behind the prison walls. Indeed, this sacred link connects us with ourselves and one another. Again, if you could just say in your own space, we are a link in this magnificent life, light, love, liberation, and legacy. It will not, it must not, it shall not be broken here. I wonder if I can get an ashe on that. How about an amen? Or at least a right on. Please give yourselves a big hug and a virtual hug to each of us gathered here and around the world. Asante Sana, many thanks.